don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money,
Mr. Worldwide.
But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, ooh, ooh. But I do, I do.
I think y'all having a good time out there.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Notorious, going to talk about the quarterback position, Kyle Shanahan, what we like about it, the passing offense, the rumors, trades, who the Browns are going to go after, all that right now. And I will say this, the quarterback position likely to be important in a Kyle Shanahan offense. Why? He's ranked in the top five in pass attempts in four out of his six seasons, the top 10 in five out of six, the lone exception 2012 with RG3, where they ranked 30th, averaging just 27 a game, typically about 37 pass attempts per game for a Kyle Shanahan offense. So the quarterback is important, sure. And that will be a key to this offense.
It'll be hugely important who it's going to be and how will the fit work. And I think with the possibility of a Johnny Manziel joining this team, just looking at the possibility of fourth overall pick and could he be there? There are many a mock draft that have the Browns getting Manziel right there, not having to trade, not having to do anything to get him. And if, in fact, he's the guy they want to take, this would be an interesting challenge, I think, for Kyle Shanahan, because you have a guy who's so raw with his skills in Manziel, who needs a lot, I think, of structure and direction to play in the NFL successfully, that his ad-libbing thing that's worked so well for him at the collegiate level, I don't believe has a prayer of working as a consistent approach in the NFL. He can have those elements to his game, but I think you need to figure out if he's really an NFL quarterback. And if the Browns believe that, when I mean by NFL quarterback, a guy who can do more things than just pull it down and run when he has to or make plays on the move constantly, what sort of scheme can Shanahan create for him? Because the last guy he dealt with who had running tendencies, Robert Griffin III, it did not work out so well. He was trying to break him of a lot of that and got frustrated. And I think you need to figure out, When you're having those conversations, and clearly the Redskins had to have those conversations, the organization, with Robert Griffin III, Bruce Allen, their general manager, and so forth, leading up to that draft to truly figure out what it was that Griffin could do that would work within their scheme, what he'd be willing to change and adapt to what the NFL brought. And I think there was a lot of assumption, as I go back to my research, as to what was going on in that 2012 draft, as I recall it, that there was just a feeling that, hey, you got to let him be what he is. He's the second overall pick of the draft. You're making this big investment in your guy to be your franchise quarterback and give him a lot of room to operate. I don't think that's going to be a good formula for Johnny Manziel. I think with Johnny Manziel, there should be as much of a meeting of the minds as you can have as a staff and as a scouting staff, but certainly as a coaching staff, to get a sense of what he wants to be and what he's willing to adjust to within his game in the NFL.
Absolutely. But I think one of the things that's exciting about the idea of Johnny Manziel, John Football, in this offense is that he can incorporate some of the things that help make the ground game so effective in Washington with the read option. But he is a better pocket passer than people give him credit for. And he is also, of all the prospects coming out this year, he is the best deep thrower of any of them, believe it or not, supported by statistics. Johnny Manziel attempted more passes of more than 20 yards in the air than Bridgewater, Carr, Bortles, or the average quarterback in college this year, nearly 19%. He was also at the top in terms of passes 10 or more yards in the air, 19%. And when you look at how accurate he was on the deep balls of more than 20 yards in the NFL, in the air, 56% was Johnny Manziel's completion percentage. That was the best. Derek Carr, who has the best arm of this group, was actually the worst. He was also the best and had the highest completion percentage on passes from 11 to 20 yards in the air. Johnny Manziel, believe it or not, is one of the better deep throwers in this draft class, and that meshes very well with Kyle Shanahan. His offenses, his passing attacks, have ranked in the top 12 in terms of plays of 20 or more yards in five out of six seasons, and in terms of plays of 40 or more yards, he's been in the the top 14 four times, top four three times. So he does incorporate that big play into his offense, and I think that is something that Johnny Manziel could fit in very nicely. I think Kyle Shanahan coming here makes him even more appealing of an option for this Browns team.
Yeah, there's no question those numbers support that. Although what I saw of the guy, and I've been going back and looking at more of the tape of him lately, what I see of the guy is someone who, yes, he makes those throws. He makes a lot of those throws by sliding and finding open lanes. And I think the defenders that he has to throw over and throw against in the NFL will make it a far greater obvious challenge than he experienced at the collegiate level. And that's a different thing to sustain that and to make that work at the NFL level versus the college level. And yes, I would think that Shanahan could be helpful to him and to his game, but I just don't know if he's the right guy physically to take what comes with that. And there's a whole lot of pounding. And if you're going to keep him in the pocket, as Shanahan will want him to do, to let those bigger plays develop as they have to, how does he withstand the hits that he's going to get? He can run away from a lot of stuff, but he'll take a lot of direct hits. The difference between a Doug Flutie and a Johnny Manziel, in my mind, and I spent a lot of time around Flutie when he was in Buffalo, Flutie never really took a clean hit. Flutie was great at just getting grazed and hit and avoiding contact head-on direct. Manziel takes a lot of direct shots. I think one of his weakest parts of his ability to run and move is, and this was RG3's problem too. They got hit head on. Their bodies took the full brunt of things. And you know, when you look at a Colin Kaepernick and how big in stature that guy is, and long, and his frame and his ability to move with that frame, he's physically built to, I think, handle more and still does a better job of avoiding contact. Exactly, because he's fasted. But even when he does, he can also run over people if he has to. Not so true with RG3. RG3 doesn't have that physical stature, and when he took some hits, he paid for them. He paid the price. I worry about that with Johnny Manziel. That would be one of my worries.
Yes.
And with regard to some, I guess, some rumor or talk about trade.
I think that can be a learned thing.
Well, I hope so.
You can learn to protect yourself.
Yes, of course you can learn it. But will you learn it? And with RG3, it never really, but he's only been in the league 2 years. Will he learn more of it coming into his third year? It can be learned. Do you want to learn it? Do you have default settings? People are hardwired a certain way sometimes. And what made Johnny Manziel as a collegiate athlete may not be the thing that he wants to get away from as a pro, because he says, I'm comfortable with this. This is what I know how to do. But when I want to talk about this trade talk, okay, this conversation about, do you have to move up to get the number one pick of the draft? Because that might be something that the Houston Texans would do with regard to a quarterback the Browns might want, if that guy is Manziel. And there was some reference to them liking to Bill O'Brien, the head coach, the new head coach of the Texans, wanting Brian Hoyer and putting together some kind of a ridiculous package involving number one picks and Hoyer to move up. And that sounds ridiculous to me right now. That sounds like a ridiculous thing that by no means do I want to see this team give up that much. It's not even part of it is, you know, I don't want to see them trade away Hoyer. I think having Hoyer is a valuable thing because I still think he could be the bridge, and I do think they're going to need a bridge. I don't know that I want to push Manziel or any rookie into the starting lineup as a rookie if that can be avoided, if you have a guy like Hoyer already here, or as you referenced, does through his connections, does Kyle Shanahan bring in somebody else? Not that he brings him in. Does he encourage the personnel staff or his connection allow them to bring in somebody with stature that can experience that can handle that? But I don't want to give up a ton of money to go from a ton of draft picks, excuse me, to go from 4 to 1.
I don't want to either. And right now it's being reported that former NFL scout Russ Land has been informed by trusted sources that the Texans are leaning towards selecting UCF's Blake Bortles, or of course John Football, with the number one overall pick. Those are the two. Bill O'Brien loves Manziel, but is reportedly concerned about his intangibles and his work ethic. He likes Bortles' prototypical size. And Bortles has been linked to them actually for quite some time.
Yeah.
Dane Brugler, who does a lot of draft coverage for CBSSports.com, will join us this week on Thursday. He was the first one to come out with the Bortles to Houston with the number one overall pick, and that's something that's gaining steam. You know, I would obviously like to see. We'll see what happens. Let me ask you this, because I know you love the Godfather, Gil Brandt. He is all on board the Johnny Manziel train, said he's Fran Tarkenton, only much better, which is pretty high praise from the Godfather.
Yeah, it is high praise, and he does love him because of the excitement that he can generate and what he brings. And it's easy to fall in love with that and to get very excited about that. I think the concerns, though, over the discipline, over the will he take the time to learn and study and be immersed in it. I like the fact that I think I heard this, that maybe he was avoiding a lot of stuff during Super Bowl week in order to try to, maybe be on his game. And it'll be interesting. I want to see the guy. What's going to be telling to me, I don't know. I care nothing about what I hear between now and January, the week of January 17th, Combine Week. February 17th, Combine Week, and leading up to, what is it, like the 20th, 21st, around there, and you'll see the quarterbacks through that weekend just show up, and whether or not they throw, and I think indications are he's not going to throw there. A lot of the higher-rated guys don't and like to save those throwing opportunities for their on-campus workouts where they're in a more comfortable place and blah, blah, blah. But all that said, I just want to hear how he is perceived by NFL teams while he's there. When they put him on the board in those meetings, those 15-minute sessions that each team gets with the player, does he wow anybody? Does he show? Because those are when the assessments are going to be made. How much of a football mind does this guy really have? How into it is he? How much studying do you see this guy doing? Because those judgments, not that they're all accurate, but those judgments are made in to a great degree, teams come away with a level of comfort or discomfort, depending on how those 15-minute interviews go.
And those will be very, very interesting to get the feedback on how that does go and see the changes that emerge, because you'll get a consensus. You won't know what each individual team thinks about it, but you'll get a consensus that, yeah, John Football did well in those meetings, John Football did not do well, and you'll get a sense of where his stock is going to be after that. It will be interesting. It'll be one of the very interesting things. Do the Browns also surprise some people and take a Sammy Watkins at 4 and get their quarterback in the second round, get their quarterback late in the first, maybe a Derek Carr, maybe a Zach Mettenberger? Is that the route that the Browns go? There are a lot of options, and I think things will become more clear as we go on. Dane Brugler, as I said, from CBSSports.com and NFLDraftScout.com, who will join us, released a mock draft today that has the Browns taking Manziel at number 4 still, the top 3 going Bortles to the Texans, Jadeveon Clowney to the Rams, and then Teddy Bridgewater to the Jags. Browns taking Manziel 4. This is the first time I've seen this, and it's an interesting one, because when you and I go through the team and assess one of the holes, we know one of them is that inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. C.J. Mosley, the inside linebacker from Alabama, who is one of the better guys, can go sideline to sideline, can cover. That's who he has the Browns taken at number 26. Overall in his draft. Linked out today, which is interesting.
Yeah, no, very. Go ahead.
I was just saying, because I think they can still get a receiver that they like, my guy Brandon Cooks possibly, at the top of the second round, and then you can go ahead and move on to the running backs in third, fourth, fifth, depending on where you want to go there.
I wouldn't hate that draft if it unfolded that way at all.
No.
John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, another guy who's saying Blake Bortles is the guy that that the Texans want at the top, and John's pretty wired into that team as well, very wired into that team. All right, we are going to do our position reviews. Let's hit the safety position. That is going to be coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.